Well, he likes the tea.
Here we go. We begin now the second chapter in Hilchos Maaser, Halacha Aleph. Whoa. We're going to now discuss what type of things you are obliged to give Maaser for. You need this thing, Howard. Okay, hang on.
It's okay, I'll sit beside
you. No. It only takes a second. It only
What's your
Maaser? A second.
How much did you have saved up, Shelly?
Is it okay if I bring the other chair here?
That's why.
Do whatever you want, Howard. Thanks. Just don't drop the chair on me. Okay. Eino chayiv lahafrish min haTorah. You're not obliged to biblically tithe for the Levite. Ela hagoimer peirosav. Only fruits or vegetables that have been brought to the complete state of the harvest, which will be discussed later what that is. Okay, we're just saying that now. And not only that, but it's la'ochlo la'atzmo. He's harvested to eat it himself. In other words, this is private use and it's not commercial. You don't plan on selling it. That's the biblical commandment, is when the harvest has been complete, you finish the entire harvest and you're planning on taking it to your house and eating it at home. You don't plan on selling it. That is the only biblical. There's other conditions, but that's the general biblical thing. Aval ha-goimram la-mocher, but if you finished them and brought them to the harvest, but it's for the sole purpose of selling, then potter min ha-toira. Biblically, there's no obligation for meiser. But the rabbi said you are obliged. How do we know that there's no Torah obligation? Because in Shemar it says, aser to aser. You shall surely tithe. And the rabbi is saying, Aser means Maaser Rishon, Taser means Maaser Sheni, etc. But then it says, Va'achalto, and you will eat it. Aha! So, Ein Achayv Ela HaGoymer Tvuasa, only when you finished the harvesting, La'achla is, and you will eat it. Not for sale, but rabbinically you are. It's interesting, the Gemara in Baba Metzia says, why were Jewish stores destroyed? Of a certain group of people, but a certain family, 3 years before Yerushalayim was destroyed. That's why did that happen? Because they kept all the biblical words, and they got out of the rabbinic. So what would they say? They would sell things, and they say, well, since we're selling it, we don't have to give Maaser. And the people who were buying it will see, they say, well, we don't have to give Maaser either, because biblically, and as we'll see in a minute, so no one gave anything. So that's why maybe biblically you don't have to do it, but you can't go with the biblical. If the rabbis say you do it, you have to do it.
So
as we'll see in the next halacha, what's the seller, the buyers, when he becomes responsible. But theoretically, if you're going biblically and you're selling, you can give no Maaser at all. And Hashem wasn't happy with that.
Would it ever apply, like if you was a doubt as to whether you gave or not, and you could say, you only have to give rabbinically, and so I'm
saying let's let the halachas play out. That's a little premature right now. Okay, that's in terms of the one who grows the crop. When does he have a biblical and when does he have a rabbinic obligation? Bayes now goes, when the seller, let's say when the seller is not obliged to tithe. Okay, and there's many more scenarios which you haven't discussed yet, but the scenario where the seller is not obliged to tithe, and a purchaser is patur min haTorah, biblically is not obliged to give truma either. Shenemar, it says, tfuas zar acha, the grain of your seeding. So that's the farmer, not the purchaser, right? But still, but rabbinically he's obliged. So even if for whatever reason the producer was not obliged, when you buy, even though you're not biblically obliged, but rabbinic, so somebody's got to give along the line. That's the point.
Somewhere.
Between the buying and the selling, somebody should have tithed it. Okay? Now, when do we say there's a chiyuv d'rabbanan? Very important. Kishalochan, when you buy them, acher shenigmaru malachtam biyad mocher, after it has been the completed state of harvest in the hands of the seller. That's when you're only going to be biblically obliged, rabbinically obliged. But let's say the guy sold it to you and it wasn't even at the stage where it was completed, the harvest,
still,
whatever.
Well,
so there was no obligation at all. And now you buy it and now it's come to harvest, whatever. But if it completed its harvest by the purchaser, At that point, chayev la'aser min haTorah. Then you biblically, because then it's considered like your grain, because it never was at that state, and then you're chayev even biblically to do it. So it depends at what stage you're buying it, will it be rabbinically or biblically obliged.
So are we going to get to what's the different stages?
Yes, maybe even today. Maybe even today. But there's a few more other things we have to talk about, a few other conditions here. Gimel, peros she'ena ru'uyim la'achila mikotnam. Certain fruits that are not a blot, you're not, can't eat them. They're not fit for eating when they're still too small. Kigon haboser, let's say unripe grapes. Okay, they have not been ripened enough. And we'll see what that is. The next couple of laws will tell us what unripe is or not. Okay, so now, okay, or anything similar. Then, einol chayov in b'maiser. You're not chayov in maiser. Even if you harvest them, you harvest them way too early. Well, forget it. It wasn't worth it. This becomes a new condition that affects everything. So it's not only that, you know, you finish the harvest. Not only you plan on eating it, for the biblical at least, it has to be at a certain ripe stage for that to be chayv and meiser. And if not, ain't a chayv and b'meiser, you're not chayv and meiser. Even rabbinically, you're not chayv. So if it hasn't reached a certain stage of element, there's zero chiyuv at that point in time. Now it may, like we said before, it may continue. You could sell to someone, it can continue to grow, and then when it reaches that stage. But at that point, there's no chiyuv. At sheyigdalu, until it grows on the tree, ve'yasu ochel, and becomes a fully edible, or at least minimal edible thing. How do we know this? Shenemar, it says, mizera haaretz, from the produce of the land, mipri ha'etz, from the fruits of the trees, meaning say, at sheyapri, until it's a fruit, until it's edible. That's what it has to be. Similarly, v'chein atfua, also grain, v'akitnios, and legumes. Shenemar, it says, es kol tfuah saracha, all the grain of your seeds, at sheteyosa tfuah, until it becomes an edible grain. And this is the new term we have to remember, vizuhi, and this is what the Gemara refers to as onas hamaisras. Literally means the time of maiser. Onas hamaisras, that's the buzzword you got to remember, means the time of maiser, means it grows to the state where it's an edible product. And now it can be in the meiser realm, but still would have to pass other thresholds. You will have to finish the harvest. You'll have to be planning it just for your own eating for it to be biblically. And if not, then it falls down to rabbinically. So there's certain stages it's got to pass. And this is a critical stage. If we don't come here, nothing's happened yet. If it hasn't reached this onus hameiseris, nothing's happened yet. Before the grain and the fruits reach that state, that size, then muter lechol mehem, you may eat from them without any meiser giving. Kol mashiyirtzo, whatever you want, you can have tons of it. Stuff your face.
Yeah, but who wants
you know,
to
you have
it?
These real unripe grapes. You know, just stuff your face.
And
any way you want to do it. Want it with cooking and frying and barbecue, whatever. No problem. It hasn't reached a state, you can eat it. Okay, that's the critical rule. We will soon see a long halacha that goes through every type of fruit.
What does Yud say? That's a big note, Yud. Does it say anything special?
I skipped it.
I know that.
It didn't bother me. Okay, Dalit. Peros. Now, here's an interesting overall, not an exception to the rule, but it just works different because the whole thing is a different thing. Perishem ruim lachib chon. Let's say fruits that are very readily edible, even though they're very small. Now, if you leave them on the tree, they get bigger. Some fruits, when they're small, they're very edible, but you will not harvest them because if you leave them on the tree, they'll grow 2-3 times its size, and you won't have bigger fruits. But the fact they're small is not an indicator it's not edible. That's a minority type of fruits. Most fruits, usually, if they're small, they're not edible. But there's some unique fruits, just because they're small, doesn't mean they're not edible. So why do you leave it on the tree? So it gets bigger, and you have a bigger fruit. But even at that small stage, that will be considered the onas hamaisus, because it's already at the edible stage. So, for example, kigon hakishuim, like squash, the hamalafafonos, and cucumbers, So we don't leave them except, we don't have to leave them. I could have picked them when they were little guys. But we leave them, Ella, because why? So that they'll get bigger, essentially. Only so they can get bigger. Not sweeter, not tastier, not more edible. You just want to have a bigger crop.
It doesn't matter. These aren't fruits, right?
Whatever would fit into that category. But they are initially okay, very edible, even though they're very small. They're biblically chayv and meiser, even in the physical small state. As long as it is in that small state worthy to eat, even though you don't plan on harvesting it, but you know you would late one. But if you do cut it off and you do harvest it, then even if they're small, you're chayv 100%. Why? Because as soon as they came out, as it were, bo onus on maisers. The time for mice already was there. Right. It's grown enough that it's edible. And that is the key component. Has it reached a stage that it's edible to some extent? Then it's fine. And usually we'll see size is going to be an indicator. But there's exceptions that size is not the indicator.
When we started, remember we were doing peyah and all that stuff.
Don't expect me to remember all that.
Didn't we talk about in some situations the size of the produce mattered and when it was.
Yeah, we talked about.
So is it the same measurement for this as it was for?
Some things yes, some things no.
I mean, would it make sense that you use consistent measurements if you're talking about the size being important?
We'd have to go back and check all that. So. Yeah, it has to reach a certain growth also. It has to reach a certain growth.
I think you said one third or something.
That's what we're coming up to. We're coming, it's fairly similar. Okay, now is a look at hay. Hay's long because we're going to talk about 30 different types of crops over here. And everything's the general, okay, so now that we've talked about this idea called onus on meiser, so ezehi onus on meiser. What is this time that it's worthy for meiser? It's reached a certain growing state. What is this? So he says a general rule, and then the general rule manifests itself in different ways. The general rule is, Mishigia haperos, the fruits have come to a certain stage of growth, lahazria v'litzmach, that the fruit itself now has grown inside seeds. And if you would take the seeds out of that fruit and plant those in the ground, it's developed enough that they could now produce fruits as well. Now, the fruit does not have to be fully developed, but inside, the seeds have grown to a point that if you pluck them out and put them in the ground, they will grow. Depending on the nature of that fruit, every fruit is a different sign for us to know that it's reached that state. Okay? Now, it's interesting, the commentaries say that really that is, and the definitions they're going to give you and the signs they're going to give you, really it's a third of the growth.
Yeah.
So the question is, it's interesting, the Rambam doesn't mention it only by olives and certain grains, because the other ones, it's you have a more of an accurate indicator of a sign. The others don't have a sign. You'll see, they're going to say, well, if it looks like this, it looks like that, it looks like that. By olives and tfuah, you don't have that sign, so we just say a third of its growth, if it's a third grown. But that is the general rule, so a third grown. But sometimes a third grown manifests itself not in terms of size, but in terms of a certain type of development, as you'll see as the cases come forth. Okay, and then obviously it also fits into if the seed can produce another seed. Now, you know, we're not suggesting, okay, the fruit's kind of grown a little bit. Let me cut the fruit off, take the seed out, plant the seed out, wait till it goes. You know, we're not going to do that, you see. So, but how do we know we've reached that stage? So the rabbis say, if it looks like this, then we know that that would happen.
Okay.
Right? And that is a third of the growth, although that's not, technically you said third growth. Well, a normal thing grows 3 feet. If it's grown 1 feet, it's enough. Size is not always an indicator. It's grown a third, only in a very few amount of products. A third of growth does nothing to its size. It's internal things that are happening. Everything has a different indicator if it's gone. So it's synonymous. A third of the growth is generally, if you take the seed out, it will now regerminate itself. How do you know it's grown a third? Very few things is actual size. But more so is other indicators, and that's why there's so many differences coming up over it. But that's the underlying idea. We're trying to hit the same core idea in all these cases. Good, yes, question?
I'm sure we get it. Same idea.
Yeah, but this is much more thorough. I don't think we did, these things
it
did not.
It wasn't necessarily the size, but.
But there is a certain thing. We'd have to go back and review that. I'm sorry, my memory isn't that good right now.
Well, for Truman, I'd have to grow up.
So let's go. Hata'im, let's start with figs.
Figs.
Meshayasu rachim, when they become, they're soft enough. At shiruim lachila, when they become edible. Acher esrim v'arba shos, 24 hours, mishas asifasam, after you've gathered them up. It's similar to like a banana. A lot of times you take off the banana, it's not ready, but a couple days later the banana is edible. Yeah. Similar idea over here. So it seems you're only high of miser in it 24 hours after
it's
harvested.
Yeah.
And it is ready. If it's not edible, then it hasn't even grown a third, as it were. Okay, because then it's not, even if it's the right height and everything, but you got to let the 24 hours pass. They're just not going to be edible. So that's the first sign with the fig. Hanovim, v'habu'ushim, grapes, and I forgot what bu'ushim
thin
are.
Thin wild grapes.
V'habu'ushim. Oh, and he says what they are. That's why I didn't write it in. V'em hanovim hadakim v'gurus. They are thin wild. They grow in the wild. They're a little bit more bitter than regular grapes. So two different types of grapes. Mishiyira hacharitz and shalom l'chutz. When you could see the seed growing in the grape from the outside. Meaning to say that the peel has softened up to the point where it's see-through.
Translucent.
Right? That's just the point of development. And you could see, in the very beginning, the color is very dark. So you don't really see what's going on in there. But it comes to a point where it's a thin enough layer of the peel that you're able to see the seeds inside. Now, that's not the size of it, but that's the development of it, is saying that it's grown a third. Harim monim pomegranates is what's the sign there. Mishayimas HaPerach Shalohen Beinasvos, if you can easily crush the seeds inside the pomegranate between your fingers, and that's not enough. V'yeitz HaMayim, and juice goes out of it.
That's messy.
So you would he'd cut the pomegranate, and he'd say, okay, let me take a seed, squeeze it, there's liquid coming out of it, then I know it's a third grown. Hot Tamarim, and dates, Mishiyipaschu, when they swell up, Kasaor, like yeast. Doesn't say how much it swells up, but it swells up. Ha'afarsikim, peaches. Mishiyotilu gidim adumim. Gidim adumim, when red strands appear within the peach, then you know it's grown a third. Hagozim, nuts. Mishisparsha oichol me'aklipa chitzona. When the fruit part of the nut itself, has set, it's developed to the point where you could discriminate the difference between the nut and the peel. In the beginning, it's just one thing. You don't see the difference between a nut and a peel. It's grown to the point where I see there's the shell, or the peel, whatever, and then you got the fruit inside. They've separated themselves. They're together. You'd cut it. You have to cut one.
You cut
one open. And you see, in the beginning, it's like one homogeneous mixture. It grows to the point where the hard shell, you see when you cut it, you see, okay, this is the inside and this is the shell, and they've two separate parts, as it were. You'd have to definitely cut it. Hashkedim amasukim, sweet almonds, mishiyispares klipasa machitzona, when the outer shell has separated. Hamorim, the bitter almonds, Piturim lomar, always putter, big or small, as we learned early in the first parak, they're never edible products at all anyway. Ushar kol bale haklipas, what about any other shelled types of produce? Kugain, for example, ha'itz drubolin, acorns, vahalot, and chestnuts, vahabotnim, and pistachio nuts. What's their sign? When the inner shell forms next to the food. You know, you have on some of these things, there's a hard outer shell and there's a very thin, it's not even a shell so much, a layer, right, that's there. So that thin layer has formed and it's distinct and that's next to the flesh part that's over there. Hazesim, now this is zesim, olives, interesting. Mishiyasu shemen, when it's come to the size that when you'd crush it at that size, how much will come out of it? Echad mitisha, 1/9, mimashim rum lasus kishiyigmru, as to what it would achieve if it was fully developed. In other words, but no, he said echad mitisha.
Right.
Well, you're ahead of me here. In other words, you can crush out oil. It's enough that I get 1/9 of what a fully developed olive is. That is 1/3 growth. Vizeh shlish lem. That is the 1/3 of their size and growth. So there it's 1/3 the growth, but only 1/3 developed. See what's happening when the olive is 1/3 developed, most of the olive is thick skin. It's not juicy. As it grows more, it gets bigger and the skin gets thinner and the juice gets more juice inside. So that's for if you have 1/9 of the oil pressed out of it, that means it's reached 1/3 of the size. Well, it's, we really could just say, we'll check the size. If it's 1/3 of size.
He's giving you... oil in the next 2/3.
That's exactly correct. Right. It's exponential, I think, right? Because the thick skin becomes thinner and thinner and thinner, and then as it gets bigger, it, the more juicy part is what develops. Everything's in the Torah, my friend. Everything's in the Torah. Hatapuchim.
How do they know about the planets, Shelley?
Hatapuchim, apples, vesrogim, and citrons. Misha yis aglu, when they become round, the shape becomes a roundish shape, that's when they've grown 1/3. Mipnei shem ru'uim lachila, because they are now edible, when they're small at that size. Hatusim, berries, ve'ha'og, sumac, mishia dimu, when they become red. And any other types of fruits that their ways to become reds. Let's say plums or something like that. Mishia dima, when they become red. That's 1/3. Hecharuv and buxer. Buxers do not start black. Finished is black. Okay, so when's 1/3? Mishiyasu nekudas nekusha, when you see black dots. There's dots all around. That's 1/3. And those dots will ultimately become fully black. And therefore, any other fruits that their tendency is at fully development to be black, same thing, mishiyanakdu, when they get all these dots. Next group of fruits, ha'agasim, pears, v'ha'krustamalim, and small pears, v'ha'parishim, and quince, v'ha'uzrodin, and thorn apples. I have no idea what a thorn apple is. Anyway, Mishiyasu korchas korchas one. When it makes white bald spots, what it means to say is these fruits initially are hairy on the outside, type of a hair type of material, and with a fuzz, and the fuzz starts going away. Yeah, in the early stages, and then it's like hair. So now it gets bald spots because the hair goes away, and now the more fleshy part of the thing develops. So you see all these bald streaks, which are white streaks, as it were. That means it's beginning to get 1/3 ready. V'chein kol shedarim, and any other fruit that is meant to get whitish, mishiyikachu karchos, when the bald spots and the white streaks develop.
We're like 1/3 of our growth.
That's 1/3. What?
When you get bald, then you get old.
We're going the wrong way. Shelley, we're going the wrong way.
We're going to mature.
We're getting ready.
Hatfua, grain. Mishatavi shlish. When it grows 1/3 of its height. This is the only one, just about, that you can really just measure by the height. If the stalk normally goes 3 feet, once it's 1 foot, finished, you already know that's it. Hatilton, our good old friend fenugreek. Mishatia zara royal at smichim in Israel. When the seed that's inside of it can be plantable, as we've said before. Ubayorek and vegetables, let's divide that group into the following. Hakishuim, squash, vadiluim, gourds, vavatichim, and melons, vamalafafonos, and what do you call it, cukes, vichol, kios, and anything similar to that, chayovim, bekotnam, they're already chayv when they're small. Kamosh Barno, as we have already explained before, in Halacha Dalet. Yes, we already said it. Just giving you that. Ushar hayerek and other vegetables, Shaina Roy Lachila that aren't worthy to eat until they get big.
Like tomatoes.
So then ain't a chayiv, they're not chayiv until they are edible. That's the 1/3 sign. Now, till the end of Halacha is a very interesting continuation of this idea. So now we mentioned grapes. Yes. What did we say was a sign for grapes?
See the seed.
You see the seed going through it. Now, let's say you got a cluster. Usually grapes don't grow by themselves.
No, they
have
clusters.
A cluster. So now we have an interesting halacha where the cluster can go like one of the grapes and will be treated like the one grape. Eshkol, a cluster. Shegiabo, that it's reached a state that we're looking for, that state where you could see the seed through this peel. Afilu gargir yechidi, even if a single grape is got to that stage. So what do we say? We say kulo, the entire cluster. Chibur l'maiser is attached to the obligation of maiser. It's like the whole thing reached it. So now the whole, obviously you have to cut it, right? So now you cut it, and one of them, so the whole thing goes with the one there. But wait a minute, not only that cluster. Elokol haruach sheyeshbo, the whole side of the vine, the many clusters on that side of the vine of Osa Gevin, of that central vine sheyeshbo eshkol, that whole side where that cluster is, everything on that side of the vine with that cluster follows that, and the same thing with pomegranate vechein rimon. And a pomegranate, shit, what did we say about a pomegranate? What do you need? Squeeze the seed to squeeze and juice comes out. So afilu, she gave afilu prey to achas, even one seed in the pomegranate. Now let's not misinterpret this halacha now. One seed, not only the pomegranate, the whole pomegranate is chayv meiser, kulo chibur, all the other pomegranates that are growing on that side of that vine or growth, all follow that as well. Good place to stop.